When it comes to, I'm talking about in general as a Christian, when it comes to prayer, people don't want to get into it heavily. Isn't that true? And when it comes to serving the Christ and serving the church, only the handful of dedicated volunteers would serve the body and Jesus Christ. When it comes to giving the tithe, less than 10% of every church take care of all the expense of the church. I said, in generally speaking, in our church is a little better. When it comes to receiving God's blessing, watch out. You better get out of the way because everybody rushing down to God to receive God's blessing. Because it's something we get it. So everybody wants that. Is it wrong to be anxious to receive God's blessing? You're kidding me? Absolutely not. Nothing wrong with it. God wants you to have His blessing. God wants you to have it. Then what would be a problem? One thing we often forget is that God is not obligated to give you and me His blessing. They are His from the beginning, and He owes nothing to anyone. Period. We owe Him everything, including our very own lives. According to chapter 3 of 2 Kings, we get to see there is a few requirements to receive God's blessing. To get the full potential of God's blessing. And I think it is very important for us to know that. As I started to read this chapter and I was, okay, what are you telling me, God? I felt like I was looking at the brick wall. The more I read, starting to show the one small amount at a time, and pretty soon it was just glowing. And I could not write down His outline fast enough. So this is the things that we like to talk about. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we gather here to receive Your instruction this morning, let us be mindful that You alone are worthy of our worship and adoration. We praise You for who You are and not just what You do for us day in, day out. We now ask Your Spirit to anoint our heart so that we may understand the principles of Your Word and apply them in our lives. We pray for President Obama's salvation, that he may do what is right in Your sight. We also asking You to put the hedge of protection for those who wear the uniforms, our troops around the world and the United States, and as well as those law enforcement personnel in this community and the firefighters who's fighting the structure fire as well as wildfire, especially our elder, Merrill Simon. Give him a good night rest if you choose to release him from this 14 days work. He's been out there for a long time. Let him rest well in You. You rejuvenate him, strengthen him, Lord. Pray this in Jesus' name, amen. Verse 1 of chapter 3 of 2 Kings. If you receive the Bible we handed out to you, there's a number. No, we don't have that thing yet. Okay. Chapter 3 of 2 Kings in the Old Testament. Now Jeroboam, the son of Ahab, became a king over Israel at Samaria in the 18th year of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah. Reigned 12 years, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord, but not like his father and mother. For he put away the sacred pillar of Baal that his father had made. Nevertheless, he persisted in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who had made Israel sin. He did not depart from them. Now Mesha, the king of Moab, was a sheep breeder, and he regularly paid the king of Israel 100,000 lambs and wool of the 100,000 rams. But it happened when Ahab died, the king of Moab rebelled against the king of Israel. Verse 6. So the king Jeroboam went out of Samaria at that time and mustered all Israel. Then he went and sent to Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, saying, "The king of Moab has rebelled against me. Will you go with me to fight against Moab?" And he said, "I will go up. I am as you are, my people as your people, my horses as your horses." Then he said, "Which way shall we go up?" And he answered, by way of the wilderness of Edom. So the king of Israel went with the king of Judah and the king of Edom. They marched on that roundabout route 7 days, and there was no water for the army, and nor for the animals that followed them. See, when Ahaziah, the last king of Israel, died, there was no heir for him to take over the throne. So his brother, Jehoram, took over it. In my opinion, Jehoram came from the total dysfunctional family. What am I talking about? If you remember, his father was Ahab. His mother was Jezebel. Do I need to say any more? These are the two worst king and queen of Israel history. If you notice, no mom and dad named their daughter Jezebel, right? King Jehoshaphat of Judah was godly king. However, king is a kind of slow learner. Let me tell you why. 1 Kings chapter 22, you find King Ahab asked exact same thing to King Jehoshaphat of Judah. "Will you go fight with me against the Syrian army?" And this king, Jehoshaphat, said, "Oh yeah, I'll go with you." But the thing is that Ahab said, "Oh, by the way, I want you dressed as you in king's robe, but I will dress up as common soldier." If you are halfway brain, if you had a half brain, you would say, something ain't right with this deal. Me dressing up a king in the battlefield, you dressing up as a common soldier. But Jehoshaphat thought, "Oh yeah, I'll go." And he showed up in the battlefield in his royal robe. Syrian army thought, "Okay, that must be Ahab. Go after him." I'm sure he's shrieked like a little girl and tried to run away from the Syrian army. And he realized he had a bad end of the deal. Now, Ahab's son, Jehoram, came to him offering exact same thing except, dressing up. And this guy did the same. What did he do? He said, "Oh yeah, I'll go with you, my horse as your horse. I am yours and my people as yours." See, this person should have known that. So how do you spell Jehoshaphat? D-U-H. Duh, right? That these two kings, Israel and king of Israel and king of Judah, would you put the map, please? Thank you. Here's Israel, and here's Judah. And this is the Dead Sea, and here's the Sea of Galilee up there. This is the Moabite, and Israel's kingdom spread this much. They wanted to attack going down to from here to coming down to Judah, and Edom was also working with Judah, so they would come all the way down to attack the southern extremity of the Moab, instead of attacking directly northern kingdom that comes down from here. Why? Because if they come down here to attack Ammonite, would know that there would be a vacuum in Israel. You follow me so far? So tactically, this would be sound strategy. So they came down, attacked from the southern border, which is the less protected. Two things they did not think through. This Dead Sea area is below 1,500 feet below sea level. That means during the summertime, two things. Number one, it's hot during the summertime. 120 to 140 degrees. You think this is hot here? Try 120 to 140 degrees. It's like a cooking. And then there's no drinkable water around Dead Sea area. No drinkable water. Would you put up this? There we go. This is the GPS. I took a picture of the actual GPS. A friend of mine, we were standing at the shore of the Dead Sea. You can see the minus 1352 feet level, below sea level. So this is not a good place to hang around. There's no drinkable water for three kings. Folks, listen up. If we made a mistake in the past for particular things, we should learn from it. You may have heard me saying this before. Hindsight is always 20/20. People with a good hindsight learn from their own mistakes. People with a better hindsight learn from other people's mistakes. After first mistake, if we repeat the same mistake again, it becomes our stupidity of our part. So, I encourage you not to be stupid like Jehoshaphat. There are five things I want you to be aware of. Five things to receive God's blessing in full potential. Five instructions. Starting with seek the Lord first. Seek the Lord first. We'll start at verse 10. And the king of Israel said, "Alas, for the Lord has," this is the Jehoram speaking, "alas, the Lord has called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab." But Joseph said, "Is there no prophet of the Lord there here that we may inquire of the Lord by him?" So one of the servants of the king of Israel answered and said, "Elisha, the son of Shaphat, is here, who poured water on the hands of Elijah." Are you guys awake? Okay, good. Can I hear amen?
Amen.
All right, that's better. You know, the same campaign, same war campaign, there are two different spiritual attitudes. King of Israel, Jehoram, is very negative. As soon as there's no water, he blamed God of Israel. However, his daddy, Ahab, and his mama, Jezebel, worshipped the pagan god Baal, correct? What did he supposedly specialize in? Rain. He's the god of weather. If he believed the god of weather, why didn't he ask Baal to bring the rain? Now Jehoshaphat realized that he did wrong. Isn't that a typical mindset? When the things goes well with us, guess what? It's to our credit. When the things goes wrong, God is to be blamed. We think it's God's fault. We often demand him to explain to us and even expect God to apologize to us and make it right according to our way. Isn't that true? That's the mindset we have often. That's not going to happen because God is always right, and he never does anything wrong. Don't ever think that God made a mistake like us. If he make a mistake, he is not God. So where did it go wrong? Joseph should know better. He should have sought the Lord in his will before the war began. See, folks, we should not expect the Lord to bless whatever we do. We should not come up with some project, some ministry, and ask God to bless this ministry or project. We should seek his will as we bring the matter to him in prayer before we begin. If he doesn't answer, here's my recommendation. Do nothing. Let me say one more time. If he does not answer to you yes or no, do nothing. It's better for you to do nothing than do something and end up regretting. Okay? until he speaks to you. What if his answer is no to you? Now you have a choice. Now you really have a choice. If God says no to you, you can say, I'm going to do it anyway, God, so you can continue and face the consequences. Or you can just follow God and expect that God's going to bless you in the future. Second thing I find is come to Him, come to God in humility. We find it in verse 12. And Jehoshaphat said, the word of the Lord is with him. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom went down to him. Note that they went to the Elisha. Then Elisha said to the king of Israel, what have I to do with you? Go to the prophets of your father and prophets of your mother. But the king of Israel said to him, no, for the Lord has called these three kings together to deliver them in the hands of Moab. He still has an attitude problem. And Elijah said, as the Lord of the hosts lives, before whom I stand, surely were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, I would not look at you nor see you. Do you think Elijah's been hanging around with Elijah long enough to learn his kind of no-nonsense drag approach? Yes, he did. I wouldn't be surprised if it was Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, the one who recommended the other two kings, let's go see prophet, rather than fetching the prophet to come to them. When they arrived to Elijah's home, Elijah pretty much told him, I wouldn't see you if it was not Jehoshaphat. Probably Joram was thinking, yeah, whatever. Like a teenager would say, you know, how they say it, whatever. Then when we seek the Lord and His blessing in our lives, we must come to Him in humility. We must come to Him in humility. We cannot, we should not come to Him with a haughty and prideful attitude in our hearts. We should not think that we are VIP. Of course, you guys know that it stands for very important persons. But we are V and P. We are very needy people. We are very needy people. Whether you like to admit it or not, we are needy people. We cannot do anything apart from God and other than sinning against God because that's our human nature. Keep your finger there and let's go to John chapter 15, please. John chapter 15, verse 5. We measure ourselves with one another. I'm better than you, you are better than me. And it's like a little ant measuring each other's, I'm taller than you. And there is a guy with a 6'4", 6'5". What does it matter? Our standard is so low, it's not even speakable. But God's standard is perfect. When we see ourselves in the light of God, we get to see who we really are. Seeing ourselves in His light always brings the convictions to us. Third instruction we must know is preparing our heart in the praise and worship. Preparing our heart in praise and worship. Go back to 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 15, please. But now, bring me a musician, that would be Mark Trudeau, that it happened and when the musician played and the hand of the Lord came upon him. It is a common practice in evangelical church, we would have worship and praise before the word of God is spoken. And naturally, we just finished worship. Now we have a word of God. Why are we doing that? So we can allow those people who comes in late can come in, sneak in. Is that why? Or is it something we do it because the other church is doing it? No. I believe that there are definite connection between praise and worship and to God, our God, and anointing of God to those who follow Him. We in the Calvary Chapel of Sarita put the prominent emphasis in the praise and worship. By doing so, Spirit of God would prepare our heart to receive His instruction. Are you with me on that? So we can prepare our heart to receive His instruction, to receive that instruction from the Bible. We are not singing the lyrics. We are not singing just songs. We are singing our love song to our God to get to know Him. Keep your finger here again and go to Colossians chapter 3. Way in the back of New Testament. Not way in the back of New Testament. Right after Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. Chapter 3. Verse 16, Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. The word of God and the music. The worship music, there's a connection. When we praise and worship the Lord in music, we get to know His thoughts. We get to know Him through His word, His Spirit. Guess what? Knowing God itself is a blessing. Do you agree? We sang the heart of worship. It says, it's all about you. The heart of worship is all about Him. It's not your what kinds of music preference you like. It can be chorus music, it can be Him, whatever you go, whatever you prefer. That's your preference. But if it has a song lyrics that pointing to the praise and worship of God, that is good enough. So one person would like Him, the other person would like whatever, country music or the style, the worship music. That's fine. But as long as it's pointing to God, to praise Him, to worship Him, then that is praise and worship to the Lord. Verse 16. And He said, thus says the Lord, and make of this valley full of ditches, for thus says the Lord, you shall not see wind, nor shall you see rain. Yet that valley shall be filled with water, so that you, your cattle, and your animal may drink. And this is a simple matter in the sight of the Lord. He will also deliver the Moabite into your hand. Also you shall attack every fortified city and every choice city, shall cut down every good tree and stop up every spring of water. Ruin every good piece of land with a stone. So now it happened in the morning when the grain offering was offered that certainly water came by the way of Edom. The land was filled with water. And all the Moabites heard that the king had come up to fight against them. All who were able to bear arms and older were gathered and they stood at the border. Then they rose up early in the morning, and the sun was shining on the water, and the Moabites saw the water on the other side as red as blood. And they said, this is the blood the kings have surely struck sword and have killed one another. Now therefore, Moab, to the spoil. So when they came to the camp of Israel, Israel rose up and attacked the Moabites so that they fled before them. And they entered their land, killing the Moabites. Then they destroyed the cities, and each man threw a stone on every good piece of land and filled it. They stopped up all the springs of water and cut down all the good trees. But they left the stones of Kir-Hareseth intact, however, the slingers surrounded and attacked it. Three kings' army already parched with the thirst from marching in the desert land. Now the God is expecting them to dig ditches. Not just one ditches, valley full of ditches. While they were digging ditches all over, they didn't see a drop of water from anywhere. After their grain offering in the morning, the water came out of nowhere by way of Edom. What kinds of principle can we get out of this? Can you think one? Digging ditches, and what's that got to do with the receiving blessing? Let me put it this way. God wants us to prepare. The instruction here is God wants us to prepare to receive His blessing. How God fulfilled His promise is not our concern. Sometimes we ask blessing and we give Him instruction. This is how I want it. Have you ever had that before? When you were a kid, in the Christmas time, you give a lot of hint to your mom and dad. Or your kid might do that kind of thing nowadays. And give a hint what should be prepared, how it should be prepared. God does not need to be prepared by us. He's a God. He's not bound by any direction or anything. The importance of the doing our part is our trust in Him and His attribute, faithfulness. Doing our part doesn't mean that we are not trusting Him and His capability and His faithfulness. After all, He's God. God can do all things. He is faithful all the time. For the sake of obedience and trust from our heart, He wants us to participate in the process of fulfillment of His blessing to us. This is very important. He wants us to be involved. God never asks us to do anything more than what we can handle. Let me say one more time. God never asks us to do anything more than what we can handle. He even gives us that capability to do it. Only thing that we have to bring to Him is obedient heart, trust, and willingness. There are two things we should bring to Him to receive God's blessing. Two important things. I find that the first one is discard. Second one is prepared. Discard and prepare. Starting with the discard. Bob, would you come on down, please? I'll make an object lesson. See, Bob is carrying all this worthless trash. I have this chocolate chip cookie, of course, without nut. I didn't get it out from the table. It's my own cookie from my own desk, so don't yell at me. Would you like this cookie?
Oh, yeah.
But your hand's full. What are you going to do? How are you going to get this? Okay, now you can have it. All right, thank you, Bob. What do you get? Yeah, litter. And stop thinking about that thing. He will pick them up. It is not unusual for us to holding on to something worthless when the Lord brings His blessing to us. Isn't that true? We're holding on to worthless things. This worthless thing can be past memory, habit, addiction, traditionalism, or pride. The only way to receive His blessing is to discard worthless things from our lives. Second thing is prepare. Prepare. We need to prepare our hearts and lives to receive His blessing. You're saying, you think? Oh yeah, I think. Whether you believe or not, many Christians pray to the Lord for His blessing in their lives, yet they are not ready to receive His blessing. And you may say, oh yeah, I am ready. Let me put it in this term. Because their heart is not prepared in the heart in the right way, and their life is not prepared in the right way. What if these three kings' army never dig the ditches? They were told to dig the ditches. They never dig the ditches. And the water came. Guess what? Passed them by. Do you follow me? This is so important. You ask for blessing, so God give you blessing. Bless you. And because you are not prepared, you didn't get it. You missed it. God told him to be ready, prepared for his blessing. God often moves us to do some things that does not make sense at that point. But there are the things that will prepare us for what he will do in the future. It may not make sense at that moment, but he will use it in the future. The measure of water available to this thirsty man was directly connected to the ditches, amount of ditches they dig. How deep, how big. The more ditches and the bigger ditches, the more water there was provided. Though it was hard and unpleasant work during the hot noonday sun, they dig the ditches so they could have it. The more they did, the more blessing they received. Folks, listen carefully, please. Ditch itself is not a blessing. Ditch itself is not a victory. But they are the essential part of blessing and victory. When God wants us to do something to prepare the blessing, we should not confuse the preparation with blessing itself. Without miraculous blessing of God, all the ditches meant nothing. I'm going back to what I said before. Without God, we can do nothing. We have nothing. You're with me? Okay, move down to verse 26. Now the final instruction, don't quit in the middle of God's blessing. Don't quit in the middle of God's blessing. When the king of Moab saw the battle was too fierce for him, he took with him 700 men who drew sword to break through the king of Edom. But they could not. Then he took his eldest son who would have reigned in his place, offered him as a burnt offering, in other words, human sacrifice. Upon the wall, there was a great indignation against Israel, so they departed from him, returned to their own lands. This shows how desperate this man, this king of Moab was. He was willing to kill his own son, burn him to death to their own pagan god. And it shows that his determination, he would not accept the defeat. King Jehoshaphat of Israel and King Jehoshaphat of Judah and King Joram of Israel, they should have finished the king of Moab as God instructed them. What did they do? They quit in the middle of God's blessing. So what? And you may say, do you find any consequences anywhere in the Bible? As a matter of fact, you don't. However, I find the immediate problem. Because the king of Moab sacrificed his son to their pagan god, and the Israelites took off, left the battlefield. What would the king of Moab think? What would the king of Moab think? He would think that their pagan god protect them from any invasion to the city. That means he was thinking that their pagan god won over God of Israel. So this is my thought. I know I'm right on this thing. When we stop our work in the middle of the middle that is ordained by the Lord, it gives an opportunity to our enemy to blaspheme our God's name. We must finish what we started in our God. Make sense? Don't stop in the middle. Because God does not stop in the middle. He who started a good work in you will be faithful to complete. That's what the Bible says. We'll drop the five instructions one more time in application. Number one, seek the Lord first. Seek the Lord first. Number two, go to the Lord in humility. go to the Lord in humility. Number three, prepare our heart in praise and worship of Him. Prepare our heart in worship, praise and worship of Him. Number four, do our part with obedient heart. Do our heart with obedient heart. Number five, don't quit in the middle of God's blessing. Don't quit in the middle of God's blessing. Follow those instructions, and you will receive, when God brings you the blessing, you will get the full potential. Let's stand up and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your instruction that we believe that you, the Spirit, spoke to our heart. We're asking you to walk in our heart and our lives, that it will continue to grow in us. We love you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.